Feral Audio.
Well, hello. It's time for another episode of Drew Droege's Minor Revelations. Oh my gosh, we have such a fun episode ahead of for you. I don't know prepositions. I can't figure them out. Of, for, above, beyond. Anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's super crazy. I have a wonderful guest, Abed Gaith and Rich Filcher on. But before that, I wanted to sort of give a little shout out. I was just thinking today is one of my best friend of all time, Jeff's birthdays. And so I want to wish him a happy birthday, even though this is going to come out after his birthday. Jeff was just a phenomenal actor. I mean, he's still with us. Is a phenomenal actor. And was so good at Shakespeare. And he had just a love of Shakespeare that I had to sort of realize way later in my life that I just didn't share. And I was very embarrassed about that. So I'm basically coming out to say I don't love Shakespeare. That's what I'm trying to come around and say. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I would never say he's like, you know, I have notes on his writing. I just don't have that passion. I don't have that love for it. And I think you either love it early on or you never have it. And, you know, in Pretty Woman, when Richard Gere was like, you either love opera the first time you hear it. And of course, you know, Julia Roberts is sobbing. I'm that on the other side of it. But forever as a kid, and when I realized I wanted to be an actor and I loved acting and I was all about it and I was always reading plays and I was all into, you know, and I fancied myself just a nerd. And so I thought I had to love Shakespeare. How can you be an actor who does theater and not love Shakespeare? That did not make any sense to me. And I remember one time my family took us several times to New York to see Broadway shows. And I believe it was the trip that we saw Sunset Boulevard with Glenn Close, which was life-changing, and Showboat with an incredibly miscast Elaine Stritch as Parthy. And she was supposed to be 40 and she was deep in her 70s. And I remember her just giving the most like sandpaper on hot glass performance. It was just angry. And she just had all that gin fueled rage. And at the top of Act Two, she has to sing a lullaby to a baby. And she's like, why do I love you? And it was like, that baby is dead from just exhaustion and terror. And it was my first time ever seeing Elaine Stritch on stage. Maybe the only time I ever, no, I never mind. But first time I saw her on stage and just finding her to be a harpy from hell. But I wanted to see Hamlet with Ralph Fiennes. And because that was like, that is going to be the most important thing ever. And I love Ralph Fiennes to this day. He's amazing. And I wanted to see Hamlet. And my family insisted that we go see the movie Congo. Anybody remember Congo? I thought not. I think Tim Curry's in it. That's all I remember. It's like apes. It was Michael Crichton. It was after Jurassic Park. And they just made Congo. And it's terrible. And we're in New York City and we go to a movie. And I was just like, I am so embarrassed to my family right now that we're going to a movie, which we could see in Lincolnton, North Carolina. We could be seeing Ralph Fiennes in Hamlet. And then, you know, I had to come to the realization that, like, I hate Hamlet. Like, I don't want to see Hamlet. I don't want to sit for 3 hours and watch, you know. And, you know, there was this really, there's that great play of Paul Rudnick called I Hate Hamlet. And I remember finding that a few years later and reading it and going, oh, my God, somebody else shares that, like, he's an actor in this play and he doesn't want to be Hamlet. And because every actor is like, that's their dream is to play Hamlet. And a friend of mine's going to be playing Hamlet next year. And, you know, he's brilliant. So I'm sure, hopefully I'll go see that. And I'm sure he'll be amazing. But I'm just like, I've never wanted to be Hamlet. Hamlet's an asshole. I've always wanted to be, you know, Melvin P. Thorpe and Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. You know, that's my dream part. Like, what's wrong with me? I am complete trash. But also, like, I just truly don't think his comedies, Shakespeare's comedies, are funny. Like, they're witty, and I'm like, I read them, and I mean, or see them, and I'm like, I get it. I understand it. But they're just frustrating. They're frantic. They're predictable. They're weirdly depressing to me, because I'm just like, oh, I just feel bad for everyone involved in this. And, you know, and they were for the people, so we sort of hold them up now as these incredible comedies, but they were basically like You, Me, and Dupree. You know, for the time. And, you know, and I mean, I love restoration comedies and Oscar Wilde and Noel Coward. And I mean, it's like, I don't have to just see, you know, 2017 comedies to get it, but I just never find his comedies to be really funny. And when I was in college, I was cast in Much Ado About Nothing. And it was the thing to be in because there was this legend teacher who was coming down from Massachusetts, and he was teaching at this, you know, he was living on like Edith Wharton's estate where everyone ran rampant through, you know, through the woods naked, and everyone was bisexual and very sexual. And, you know, and so he was coming down, and I'm not going to say his name because I don't have to, and he was a nightmare, but he came down and directed Much Ado About Nothing, and I was not good, okay? I just have to, I mean, let's just be honest. I can be really snotty and arrogant. I was not good at doing Shakespeare, okay? Let's just, you know, own that. My friend Jeff, happy birthday, was incredible. And it's like, was in his bones, and he was always reading it. And I was, you know, I don't know what I was doing. I was eating, I was drinking. I was not reading Shakespeare. And so Jeff was cast as Benedict. It was the lead. And this, and I was, the governor. I had like, I was like the old man that's angry that Leonardo, I think that was Leonato, if you know that, you know, the one part that's not played, it was like Richard Briers did it in the movie, the Kenneth Branagh movie. Okay, who cares? I was bad. I was supposed to channel a man who thinks his daughter has been cheating on her fiance. I have to be screaming. I had to channel all this rage. I was 20 years old. I didn't know who I was, let alone who this character was. I was in a terrible Ben Nye makeup kit with like lines drawn hard under my eyes, terrible silver paint in my hair. And this director hated me and was just gave up on me and was just like, this part of the show is just going to be bad when Drew's talking. But he would call the house every day, and Jeff and I lived together. And so he would call our house every day, and I would answer the phone, and he would not acknowledge that we were doing a play together. So I would answer the phone, and he would just immediately be like, is Jeff there? And he would want to talk to Jeff about motivation. And, you know, it was just, you know, and the role and the thing. And they just had such a connection. And I was just like, I'm in the play too. Then we had, after the play was, graciously done for me, I had to have, he had these one-on-one conferences with us where he told us about what he thought we should do with our lives. How presumptuous is that? I would never direct a college production and tell college kids what they should do with their lives. But this guy did. And he sat down with all of us, and he sat down with me, and he was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I want to act, and I want to direct. And I was directing a lot of theater at the time. And I was like, I think I want to, you know, I think I want to, you know, direct theater, but I think I'd like to act first. And that's kind of what he was doing. And he said, oh, no, you should never do that. Maybe you should stage manage. And so I just kind of held on to that for a really long time. And I sort of had a lot of like, fuck you, I'm going to show you kind of thing. And then I did a summer program in London at RADA, a Shakespeare program, like the next year, because I still thought I should be doing this. I need to get better at this. I need to force myself to love this. I need to just like, you know, just not follow any green lights. And like, you know, and like, God forbid I do anything that comes natural to me. I've got to force Shakespeare into my heart and into my bones, even though I suck at it. And so we did The Winter's Tale, which is by far his best play because it's so fucking weird. And it's this hybrid of these two worlds, and it's not funny or dramatic. It's just this bizarro thing. And there's a bear that chases someone off stage. Yes, there's, you know, we all know this if you know Shakespeare, whatever. I don't care. I spent all summer working on the Winter's Tale, and before I had a single line, I tripped on stage and broke my arm and had to be taken to the emergency room. So I never got to utter a line of Shakespeare. But so it was just like the universe was saying, you're not going to do this. You should not be doing this. Stop. Just stop doing it. On the other hand, it was my first time ever working with professional actors and seeing like there are people that were doing all different kinds of acting, and it could mean a lot of different things. And it was the first time that I actually gave myself permission to even think that I could do this with my life. And so I was like, oh, thank you, universe. And thank you, Shakespeare, for showing me my limitations, what I can't do. I've since seen Mark Rylance do Twelfth Night and Judi Dench do The Winter's Tale. Obviously not the production that I was in. And they were incredible, and I couldn't stop watching them. I realized that, like, oh, good Shakespeare is amazing. It's just not for me. And I'm thankful for that. All right, let's have a show. Hi, guys.
Hey.
We're officially starting now.
Officially.
This is the official start. How exciting is that?
Now I don't know what to say.
You're talking for like an hour.
I know. It's okay. I'm sitting here with the lovely Rich Fulcher and Abed Gaith.
Hello.
Hello, gents.
Hello.
How's it going?
Like, good. You know that cartoon with the frog?
He sings the WB frog?
Yeah, he sings opera.
Hello, baby.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden when he wants to do it in front of other people,
he
clams up.
Oh, I didn't know that about the WB frog.
That's the way I
the original
that he
cartoon.
He was really excited to show us
hello,
Felicity
my mama,
and Popular
hello.
And whatever was on in 1999.
He's talking about the original from the old Looney Tunes.
Oh,
cartoon.
From the original, the Mel Blanc days.
Yeah, and then he gathers
I don't remember.
The crowd around, and then nope, the frog doesn't, he just goes, ribbit, ribbit.
No, it's like this, it's like a
he
burp.
He gets really nervous. I don't remember that.
It's really good.
This is something, and I think I've said it. I never watched cartoons as a kid. Really?
I've kind of got to go right now.
I know. I wouldn't know about it. I mean,
I've got to leave.
You're in a cartoon studio.
I know. And I'm writing on a cartoon show right now.
Really?
Which I love. I love adult cartoons. I mean, I love cartoons
now. Yeah, sure. We all do.
Well, you know. But I just, as kids, I was like... I love them raunchy.
Baby.
The hentai. I really love all that shit.
Hentai.
But,
this guy knows his stuff.
Hentai me up.
Hentai for those who don't know.
No, but I just never as a kid listened to. I mean, I never watched cartoons really. I loved sitcoms from the 70s about life in the city because
Mary Tyler Moore.
Removed from my life. Yeah, and One Day at a Time.
Did you like comic books?
For a short period, I like comic books in, like, I want to say, like, 7th, 8th grade.
I liked Mad.
Mad.
That's not a comic book.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is...
A humor mag.
Like, comedy comic books. Is that what you're saying?
Well, he described a humor magazine. Comic books.
Humor magazine.
No, I like humor
Archie
magazines.
Archie is a comic book, so is Spider-Man.
I
want to
meet an adult now that says, I enjoy humor magazines. I enjoy quips. Mad Magazine always drove me crazy as a kid because I hated the punny names. They always punny. They did a play on everybody's. It was and I hated that because I love Saturday Night Live because they just would call it out. They would say, this is the, you know, they were like, this is Michael Dukakis and we're going to make fun of him as opposed to, you know, Blykel Blue Block or whatever. And you're like, no, that's just dumb.
Blykel Blue
Block. I was a little old man, so I didn't like anything that I thought was talking down to me. So that's what I thought cartoons were doing. Even though cartoons are incredibly sophisticated.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wasn't.
Because
I just didn't give them the time of day.
Then. But now they are.
Yes.
So back then you were like,
but if
that's...
you look at now, I mean, back then you're like, there's all kinds of, you know, stuff and people talk about, like, there's political stuff and Bugs Bunny and all that stuff. But I didn't see any of that. I just was like...
Wizard of Oz.
Oh, sure. No, I do love The Wizard of Oz.
That's not a cartoon.
Wonderful.
That's about the gold standard.
Oh, geez. What Wizard of Oz did you see?
And there is, you know, there's some terrible cartoons of The Wizard of Oz.
I actually love Return to Oz.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's
with James Franco?
No.
No, that's that awful.
Oh, that's terrible.
Mila Kunis and that dumb hat. What was that one called?
That monkey, the talking monkey.
That was called like some shit.
Somebody shoot me.
Finding Oz.
No, it was Finding Oz.
Finding Neverland? I don't know.
Yeah, it was like Neverland and Oz or something. I don't know.
No, Return to Oz was Feruza Balk. And she
was a little, and Nicole Williamson, she was a
Nicole
little
Williamson,
girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And mom from Carrie, what's her name? I met her.
Piper Laurie.
Yes.
Piper Laurie.
She's awesome.
She's awesome.
She's the best. She's the fucking
She's
greatest.
Anti-M.
I want to work with her.
She's anti-M, right? Because it's also that other woman, Jean Marsh, who is the Mumby, the one with the head.
Oh, the best. The best. As
it's
a kid,
so dark. It's
terrifying,
so disturbing.
Right?
I loved it.
I loved it. When I was a kid, I saw that in the theaters. I think it was 85.
Uh-huh.
Terrified by Mumby.
84.
Because she had all those heads. Remember when she steals the key and she just goes, Dorothy Gale. Like, it's terrifying.
Oh, it's horrifying.
Why don't you two just do the podcast?
Let's just talk about Return to Oz.
What do you want to talk about?
I'm just kidding.
Rich is out the door. How are you doing?
He knows it came out in 1984 and he's mad about the rest of it.
But you know how the cartoons now for kids, they have the double tier of jokes?
Oh,
like
right.
They'll have references so the adults can, you know, keep watching.
Right.
And then the poop humor so the kid likes it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll end with like a poop joke.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know.
Children and their poop jokes.
I just watch these new cartoons. I get really kind of like exhausted. It seems like everyone's like talking fast.
They're very manic. And also, like, I am obviously not a moralist, but when I watch cartoons now, like, there's something about the characters are just like, they're like really bratty. Like, they all have like a lot of attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sass.
It's like,
and they're all like, and it's just all, and I'm like, why do we want our kids watching like this kind of shit?
You're going to hell.
Make them watch Return to Oz and then it'll scare the shit out of them.
You
and
want
behave.
Kids, we want kids to be like normal, not like the biggest, like, you know, bully in the classroom.
Well, yeah, they all are like, what's her name from Full House? Like, they're all like
Michelle.
Michelle from Full House.
Just
and
like,
it's just like, that's just real
with
fucking
the,
annoying.
With the best quip possible, and she's smarter than the adults. She's calling the adults out on stuff. It's like, what?
Is placing,
don't you hate that kid?
Do you guys audition for kids shows where you have to play the adult in the show?
No, no. I would love to, but
it's the worst. And I've never gotten one,
right?
But I've auditioned for many, and
you
like,
seem like you'd be
Disney?
Really good,
like Disney shows and Nickelodeon shows. But you're always like the zookeeper, and you come in and like the kids throw fish at your head, or like you work at a candy store, and then you're like they'll throw, you know, fudge balls at you, and you get drained. Like, you're just the walking target.
You're set for life if you're in one of those things.
Oh yeah, I mean that's the thing. Those people on those shows are just
well, it sounds like
set up your autograph
stand. I think I'm too dark. I go in there too mad, and I go in there like I'm.
God
just,
damn it. No one better
monkey.
Fucking throw a fish at me.
We just want a dancing monkey so the kids can laugh at
him. Better part of the audition is throwing
dance,
a fish
monkey,
at me.
Just dance for the kids.
That's the thing. And I'm always like, I want to be in charge of this situation. Like, I can't give up control. I don't think it's the game.
You should be the good
the
villain
audition.
Of the kids movie. I'd like to see you as the villain.
I mean, I would love to do it, and you're like,
you
shouldn't
you're sassy.
Slash, I don't want to do it at all. I mean, I would love the money, but I would never
want to. I would like to see you compete with the kid on the sass.
Preface the audition with, oh, by the way, I hate kids.
Right,
that
exactly.
That usually doesn't...
Yes.
Are we starting?
Yeah. Have we begun? Are we ready to go? Let's just fucking go. My coke dealer's outside.
You want me to
hot.
Slate? I'll fucking
okay,
slate.
I'll fucking slate.
Hold on, I gotta do some coke, and then I'll be ready to go.
I know. Oh, the rage. Now, yes, Abed, you and I were on a very fun show.
Oh, yeah.
Many years ago.
Channel
101 called Classroom.
And you came on later.
I did.
You were like, were you the first episode? It was you and Mike Rose?
No, I don't. Mike came on later too, I think. Because
I feel like
Tyler.
It was the same one.
We may have.
It might have been. Yeah, it was one where I was a ballet dancer, right?
Yes. And your name was Boombox?
Yeah, yeah. Because I remember you
and
were.
You always carried a boombox.
Yeah. And you were
did
the
you
student.
Did you wear a tattoo?
You did wear a tattoo in that
no,
episode.
Did I? I might have.
In my memory, you did.
I should have, thinking about it. But yeah, that was our first time acting together.
This is on Channel 101. I think they're still available. Can you watch them?
Yeah,
I know some of them got taken down because we were filming illegally at a elementary school.
Really?
And there were kids that found it online.
Really?
Because it got popular and kids were like, that's our classroom.
I
and
did
we got
not
in
know.
Trouble. And they had to take a couple
Plus,
of them
so
down.
So they do that?
Me and Justin were drunk in a kid's school.
Oh, I mean, see, there you go.
We drank like before every shoot. And I remember
There's one I remember
Tyler.
Justin eating eating an entire chocolate cake and just letting it all fall out of his mouth, and it made me laugh so hard.
Wait, so you're saying if you do a gorilla shoot or something, and then somebody watches it and says, hey, you didn't have a license...
You can, especially I think if it's at a school. I think they have special because we're in their classroom.
Well, you know, Tyler got clearance, so that's weird. Because I remember he knew someone that let him do it at the school.
I think it was more like they just didn't want to deal with the hassle, so they took it down. More than like there was no like legal action taken.
Well, there's jokes about like Justin's dad having sex with him. So well,
yeah, there was also that. And I'm playing a character of indeterminate race or sex. Just equal opportunity.
You were so good. I remember, it was like, first met you and I was like, this guy's amazing. Like, I was just like blown away immediately by you
and
Mike.
Well, I was replacing Sarah Norton, not right. Sarah Vato, who was playing a character named LaShonda.
Right.
And she moved to Vegas. And so they're like, who can we get to play LaShonda? And it was, they asked me to do it, which was even
great
stranger.
Choice.
Great no, but, choice.
I mean, you...
And then the rest was Hollywood history.
By the way, Sarah
became
Norton,
yes.
She was the founder of Norton Antivirus.
Yes, she was. She's done very well.
She's very rich
she's
now.
She's great.
Then she blew it all in Vegas.
She's sad.
Yes,
she
yes.
put it all
yeah,
on
she
red.
She put it all on red.
Don't put it on red. Put it on black.
I think she phoned it in,
if
too.
If only she'd known.
Yeah.
But I want to thank her for her contributions and getting all those horrible viruses off my laptop. And
in the end, she did a great job.
She really did.
And she set you up with LaShonda.
She did.
Yeah.
And it is the end for, it is over for her because just the horrible business decisions she made on the blackjack table.
If
oh,
you
wow.
won an Emmy for that role, would you thank her as well?
Well, of course. Yeah, first yeah. of all, the road to an Emmy from a 2003 very shoddily gorilla shot
yeah,
elementary
this is a
school,
hypothetical, yeah.
Where I'm wearing a tube top. I'm wearing a mini skirt as a tube top with my hairy gut hanging out and really, really tight red slacks.
And a terrible wig.
Terrible wig.
Yeah, it must have been itchy all
day
long.
Nobody's
never
named
was washed.
Hairy
yeah.
gut.
Oh, really? It wasn't washed.
Yeah, never washed.
Well, that's funny. Like, we were all in that
but
class.
But I would love if, I mean, I would just love to just be like, you know, thank you, Emmy, you know.
Yeah.
Committee. Thank you, Sarah Norton. Thank you, Norton Antivirus.
Do you ever think things. Who you would thank if you won an award?
Think.
Do you, no, yeah. I mean, it's so crazy to think about like how in that moment. I get so nervous for the people that win in those moments because you're just like, you have to thank all the people on that particular show that you just did. And then all the people in your life. And this moment is so big for you and not anything
and
for
forget,
anybody else.
You're going to forget somebody.
When Hillary Swank forgot her husband.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if that was intentional. I'm gonna just a hot take on
really?
That. Yeah, they weren't doing well. I think that was... How do you forget your husband, honestly? Like, honestly, that I just that is one of those things you're like, are you kidding me?
But she still like, should thank him
when
though.
People say I haven't
well,
really
yeah.
planned anything.
I mean, he was with
bullshit,
her up until
right?
that point.
You gotta plan
you've
a
gotta
speech.
Plan ahead and you've gotta and I think even as like those of us that like do improv, I think you should have it written down. I don't know. I mean there's
you
some
need
people
to
like
have the beats.
I always think like Sarah Paulson gives an amazing speech. Like I'm like
yeah.
how does she
yeah.
She just gives these eloquent, incredible speeches and Viola Davis and some of these actors can give these speeches and you're like that was just a that was incredible. They
right.
maybe have people write them for them. I don't know.
But. No, I think they're
committee,
just good.
Do you think a committee member has ever given somebody an award just in history because of the speech? Like, oh, this person's going to give
gotta
a give
good,
good
speech.
Speech. Yeah.
I know in a lot of the smaller shows, they're like, this person will show up. I've written for some award shows, and I'm not going to say what, but they will give the award to whoever they can get to show up.
Really? Not like Marlon
showing
Brando.
Up is a big deal.
But don't they tell
but
you?
Not for the Oscars or the Emmys.
Yeah.
I don't
oh,
know.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who cares about the Emmys? They're like, yeah.
Wait, I mean, any of them. Who yeah. cares about any of them?
Right.
Oh,
right.
I care about every technical award.
Every one.
He loves awards.
I
yeah.
know. You love the awards.
He's
what's
fast
your favorite awards show, Rich?
Golden Globes.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Because you can get
drunk
and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And good reactions. Like, you wouldn't get
it's like
Tommy
the old
Lee
Dean
Jones.
Martin show.
Remember the Tommy Lee Jones reaction? You wouldn't get that in the Academy Awards.
Yeah, he could, that wouldn't fly.
What was his reaction? What was it?
Well, he was just looking at Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig's speech.
Oh, right. Oh, and he was like, he got mad at them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he got
or he didn't
really
get what was
pissed
happening.
Off. He didn't know what was happening.
Oh, my God. And they are the best to get it because they can... Because that's so hard to do to get up and take the piss out of an award show.
That was the
you see
best.
How that like Ben Stiller always bombs it. Like
yeah.
he can't do it. He can't.
Yeah.
Do it.
No, he's
and
no.
then like there are a lot of people that but like, but Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig can get up and just be so just deranged and weird. Because the two of them have such like they're weirdo brains. Like they're not.
But their chemistry is great too.
But it's like that speech they
look
gave.
Like they both look like leading comedy player. Like,
but they don't
take
it seriously.
But they don't take it seriously. And they both have like they're both geniuses and they know how to just like make fun of everyone in the room and everyone's like we gotta laugh at this.
Well,
but
know,
Tommy Lee Jones is like who are the where am I?
Yeah. You know
where
what's extra hard in that situation is they could have easily started to bail on it.
Oh yeah,
because there was an initial confusion, right?
Yeah.
But they pressed it.
I know.
It was so good.
It's so
good.
Committed. I know.
Well, and then also like. Because I feel like Tommy Lee Jones
that's
is
the groundlings, you guys. That's yeah.
groundlings.
There you
hey,
go.
Hey, shout out.
Commitment.
Lorraine Newman.
There you go.
I met her true. Once.
She's the greatest.
Look at this name dropper.
Four times.
Name dropper.
Quit dropping name. Yeah. Come on.
You dropped your name. You picked that
dropper.
Up. Could you pick that up? You dropped it.
I love shaming him for just saying I met someone.
No, he's done that to me too. He's shamed me for name dropping.
Because you meet someone.
But I do it.
But I, you know, I mean, I know Lorraine, and she's fantastic.
I'm jealous that you know Lorraine. Yeah,
she's a delight, and
I imagine so.
But you know what's funny to do, and I'll say this for the listeners, is expand the name dropping to whatever. Like, I went to France in the summer. Oh, name dropper!
Like, oh yeah! Oh, exactly. It's so.
Oh, look
yeah.
at this guy went
it's
to
really
France.
Fun. It's really fun to just accuse people of. Or just like stop bragging when you're just like just talking yeah. about you know your life.
Oh, it must
well,
have
it
been great.
Really, it's annoying like living out here, knowing the people that we know, and we do know people who become famous every now and then. And when you talk about people, and people shame you,
but
and
you're like I knew
like,
them.
But
when
I actually
they...
know them, and yeah. I know that you may not know that I actually know them. And I'm not trying to say that I am impressed. I'm not trying to impress you. But it's
no,
weird.
It's part
weirder
of the world.
If I act like I don't know you.
Right.
It's
right,
weirder.
Right.
Like well, it's like what? I'm talking about someone like that as if I'd never like came up with them or met them or hung out with them or spent years.
Well, it's like
a,
you're holding you know. This jealousy. You know, yeah. you're like,
and
fuck gonna, them.
And now that they, some or they've crossed to some other side that now like we're separate, and I don't, and so I can't.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like, at what point do you get to that point yeah. where you're like, oh, I can no longer. Talk about my, you know, and
yeah,
so
not
I just,
crossing that line.
I don't
there.
Apologize too much about it. I'm yeah. like, you know what? I'll just shamelessly name drop, and I do it all the time on this show.
Well,
like,
I think we do it naturally now because, like you said, we know so many people that
we know people, and it's yeah. just part of what we do.
We know so many fucking
yeah,
people.
We know so many famous
people.
God.
Grace Kelly.
Oh,
oh, she's no. amazing.
Hercule Poirot.
Yul Brynner. What's the other one?
Tommy
like?
Two-Tone.
Oh, my God. These,
oh, that's
just,
a good
these
one.
Friends of ours. The lunches
Mary
we have.
Mary Pickford.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
she's
oh
so
the
boring.
Dinners we have, the
oh,
brunches.
The Astors
Hubert.
Come over.
Oh, the people
Douglas
we know.
Fairbanks, what a guy.
Yes,
but have you ever noticed
fun.
This? Like, other than, say, New York, if you do as part of your act about meeting people and stuff,
uh-huh.
a lot of times it comes across a little bit weird.
Like what? What do you mean?
Like if you did an act in Iowa.
Uh-huh.
About like, oh, I went over to such and such's house and blah, blah.
Right. Well, because the other thing, too, is it's like until you are as in other people's eyes. It's about other people. It's not about you. But it's like in other people's eyes, until you are as famous as them.
Right.
They look at you as like, who do you think you are? So it's like if Kevin Hart got on stage and said, you know, I went over to Will Ferrell's house or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, well, yeah, they know each other. They were in movies together.
Right, right.
But
right.
if
it's
any
normal.
Of us know Will Ferrell and which, you know, and we say we went over to his house, people are like, okay, you're name dropping. You know what I mean? It's weird.
Yeah.
It's the guy accusing you.
Perception
like,
of you.
But the guy accusing you is jealous.
Right.
So it's a way for them to be like,
right.
you know what? I'm going to put you
and
in your
you
place.
Can, yes. And you can usually tell when someone's on the, on to you know, flip around who's doing it in order to. Impressive.
Right,
you know,
right,
there are
right.
people who will literally say, I was at Will Ferrell's house.
Well, they got to cut you down somewhere.
And there's no story there. They just want to let you know they were at Will Ferrell's house.
I think I was thinking, too, about the UK in particular, because
uh-huh.
it's kind of weird the way they don't like you to show that you're, like, you
oh,
know,
it's,
fancy pants.
Oh, yeah, it's very in English, you
yeah.
know, to not brag.
But I saw Andy Kindler at an Irish comedy festival,
uh-huh.
and he's amazing.
He's the
yeah,
best.
He's
oh,
the
yeah,
best.
He's hilarious.
He's the best.
Yeah, of course.
And he's doing his normal, like, he hasn't, he hasn't changed his material at all for the Irish audiences. Uh-huh. So he's joking about Robin Williams, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, he's not getting a big reaction. He goes, look, people, I don't have 30 minutes of hurling material.
Wow. I love it.
Well, that's great.
Also, in the UK, they have a very different relationship with actors there because they have a lot of respect for actors. They knight them. They give, you know. But actors are I love their relationship with actors there because actors are also kind of middle class there. Like, they get paid very well. But you look at Anthony Hopkins and Helen Mirren are always the example. Like, they do every job that comes their way. Whether it's good, bad, whatever, they're working. Michael Caine, absolutely. He's going to do Jaws the Revenge. He didn't accept his Oscar for Hannah and Her Sisters, which he's so brilliant in. Because he was on location shooting Jaws the Revenge.
I love that movie.
I have a job. Why would I get out of a job to go to the Oscars? Because that's the English attitude.
So they don't
look at, they have the royals. They have their, you know, those are their stars.
They're working.
And so their greatest actors are just there to be like, and they'll do an episode of TV or they'll do an advert on the telly. And, you know, and they don't think of it like, oh, I'm beyond that in my career or I'm all about the red carpet and all that other.
Go ahead.
No, you first.
If you have that depression era mentality, my next job is going to go away.
Well, and we all should have that depression era mentality because that's how
I have it every day.
That's how we live, right?
That's what we do. It keeps you kind of like you're going to push harder.
Yes.
Than everyone else. Someone told me, push it. He's like, I don't cast you because you're too desperate. And then I was like, that's horrible to say because, like, you know, I always think when I do something, I put my all into it.
Right.
You know, and that I want, this is my last
job. This is what you do. You go, well, actually, I don't want the part. And then they go
you're hired.
That's what I'm looking for.
It's exactly what I want.
There's the contract.
For me, the more you do it, the busier you are, the less important you make everything. And you can go into things like with less, because I mean, I get it. I've blown things because I've also maybe been too desperate or I've wanted it too much. I walk in and I'm like, this is my dream job and I have to do this. Oh, I flubbed the first word. Oh, crap. Oh, God, I'm talking right now. What am I doing? I'm in my head. I don't know. They hate me and this isn't going well and goodbye. And then I leave and I'm like, that was horrible.
Right.
Because I cared about it too much. And when you're busy doing all these other things, you kind of look at it as one more thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's more of a chore.
Don't care as much.
Yeah.
And it's the hardest job because you have to care less in order to
especially voiceover.
I auditioned for Twin Peaks. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk.
You did?
Oh my God.
Yes. I didn't tell you.
I'm mad jelly.
You had to sign an NDA. But it was just...
You can do it now because the show's already done.
Yeah. But the weird thing was, it wasn't like an audition. It was like, talk to the casting director.
Uh-huh.
Like, have a conversation.
Oh, what's her name? Jonah Ray?
I don't know.
Joanna Ray.
Not
Jonah Ray?
Wait, Jonah Ray is casting Twin Peaks. Now I'm real. Now, number one, I'm mad that I wasn't called in, Jonah. Number two, congrats on all, I mean, on top of your, you know, insane career, you're also casting.
But it's like, we're just talking normally, and I'm like, should I start talking weird? Should I,
start talking backwards?
Affectation, or
I think
pretend
they
I'm like one
nuts.
Of the characters?
Like, no, what are you, nuts?
I think they really just want to get a sense of who you are. I mean, because I know Christopher Guest cast that way as well. Apparently, he just kind of takes you to lunch and you kind of don't realize. You're like,
really?
Oh, I'm auditioning now.
Yeah, I mean, that's better.
Which is, I think it is better.
Yeah, because I'm you at want that point the personality. Now,
like,
you don't
at this
want...
point, like...
The
you know,
fakeness is getting old, and like the whole performance thing.
And they want to build something around your personality and the uniqueness of you versus like, can you deliver these lines?
I mean, and can you
depends
fit
on what the material is. But I get for like a David Lynch thing, he would just want to see like, you know, do you like? Can I
Rich Fulcher? Let me see you do your
but
thing.
I would think that he'd want to.
Yeah, Rich Fulcher. Yeah.
Have you ever been in the like those social auditions like Christopher Guest, right? And it's going really well.
Yeah.
And You think, I want it to end right now because it's gone really well, and then I'm going to fuck it up somehow.
Yeah, and then you're like, do you have any string cheese?
Yeah.
I get very serious. Like, I used to get desperate and try to be funny, and it was not how I'm funny. And so I was just, and I would clam up and just be some weird, desperate amalgamation of just nerves and trash. And so I just, now I get very real, just very, so I just don't think I'm that necessarily interesting sometimes when I'm in those situations.
Yeah, but it sounds like you've evolved.
I had to, at least for my own sanity. I don't know if that helps me get a job, but at least I'm just like...
You're hired!
When I meet people, I'm not going to be like... Because it's just like, oh my God, that's so not my nature. That's not who I am.
Yeah.
And it's just going to have to come through, you know. But sometimes I'm just like, oh, I'm just, I don't know. It's like, who are we? And also when you come up in like the world of doing crazy characters and doing improv and you sort of hide behind your wigs and glasses and then you're like, oh, I have to be me and something. And you know, yeah.
I've got to be me.
Isn't it great? Now, you guys have a podcast called Gone Riffin.
Yeah, yes. We do.
Oh, finally, we're talking about
finally.
It.
Finally. I promise.
When is he going to get to our podcast? Enough with this audition shit.
Where do we have to go? So what is the show?
Well, it's... Hello?
Tell the story.
What story?
We did this about 2011. Podcasts were young.
When I was working on Honey Boo Boo.
Okay. Oh my God, I love that you worked on Honey Boo Boo.
Oh no, it wasn't
fun.
I can't imagine.
Give it a chance.
You can imagine.
Just they're lovely people.
Just to have some fun. Yeah. And then it did pretty well. And then we didn't keep it up because I went to the UK. And then
the weird thing is we had fans in Australia.
Uh-huh.
And because of Rich, you know, all these fans of his work were listening to it. We were shocked that it got all the way over there. And I'm shocked anything does good.
Technology?
Because if you listen to it, Drew, it's just bullshit. It's just us just talking about random shit.
But it's called God, and that's what it is. That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And yes. Exactly.
Right.
That's what this is too.
Right.
So.
And I think yeah, because I invented chat.
He's going to sue us right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My lawyers are chomping at the door. Can't wait to talk to you both. I think there's a thing where people like to, when they like your work, they want to just kind of get to know you this way.
Yeah, yeah.
And my favorite, you know, I love that people are like, you know, can listen to my show every week and feel like, we get to like catch up and hang out when they said they listen to it. And because some weeks, you know, I find like, oh my God, we really like solve the world's problems. And I feel really light.
Yeah,
and other
weeks
I'm like, oh, we just talked a lot about drinking today or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And like,
I love that.
Sort of not putting any expectation on it is like makes it so much more, at least fun for me to do. And it has to translate that way for people to listen to.
Because I think part of why we like it is we're trying to do away with the formalities of, hi, I'm here with,
right.
So tell me what you've worked on.
So even when we have a guest on
shit.
It, they just become part of the whole,
right.
Like this. But it's called Gone Riffin.
Uh-huh.
So then we stopped because he moved to England, back to England.
Name dropper. About me.
Oh, he got me.
Gotcha.
Well, look, and then he came back, and then we did it again. For a little bit, and then it was
still too hard because I'm kind of in the hinterlands, and it was just hard. And then we went, you know, feral.
Farrell came by. They gave us a shot.
Yeah.
The Farrell family.
Well, that's with me, with Farrell as well, because I was doing my first podcast in 2011, 2012.
Oh,
oh we're like,
in the garbage. We're 2011ers.
2011ers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back
in 2011.
The golden
age. Fuck
when
those 2012ers.
When most of you were not born, it was a very, very bizarre time. Pants were in.
There were horses. Everybody had horses.
Everybody had horses.
Everyone loved radio.
Oh, I know. I'm so sad.
They gathered around the old radio.
I had to put my down horse. That's what I'm going to say.
Everybody owned a Tomcat.
But I wanted to do mine forever. And then finally, what is it? It was like 5 years later. I picked it back up again and did it here.
What made you do that?
I just got busier and I would, you know, and it's when you're not doing it, you kind of say, I should get around to do that. And you just don't. And you let time go by.
Yeah.
And then your next thing, you know, 5 years has gone by. And finally, Dustin, who was at Earwolf and, you know, started Feral.
Yeah.
Who would all,
God,
every time
I hate Dustin.
The worst.
I mean,
isn't he stupid? Yeah.
Dust that guy off already.
Oh, this will be cut out. This will all be cut out. You won't ever
hear. He's so dusty.
The greatest.
That's what I understand.
But I kept running into him, you know, socially.
Yeah.
And he was like, we got to do your show. And so then finally,
please don't talk so loud in the opium den.
And I know they're like, stop screaming. People are trying to nod.
No
off.
One knows my name here.
Stop it. I'm a businessman.
Wait, so did he already know about your podcast?
Yeah, we worked together at Earwolf.
Oh, okay.
On my other one.
Oh,
you can't say that.
And so I know it's very rude to talk of other networks.
Screw them. It's like ABC hates NBC. That's
true. Yeah. They will have nothing to do with each other.
They have
NBC doesn't hate ABC so much, but ABC does hate.
Oh, ABC's so mad.
They're very mad. They're mad at everyone.
Well, NBC's winning. You know, NBC's winning everything.
Winning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know because I don't keep up to date, but
everyone's mad.
If you look at the past,
this is you just said mad, so I have kind of a revelation. I was thinking about
what
the other day is. Hate's a strong word, right?
Yes.
With people, like I don't really.
Oh God, don't say that.
I don't really hate a lot of people, but the ones that I dislike, I was thinking about, and they're actually people that are kind of like me. Have you noticed that? Like somebody, the other day I was going, God, that guy's lazy. That stupid guy's lazy. I'm lazy.
Yes.
That's
you know,
why
it's,
I don't
so
like
true.
That person.
There are things about us that we see in other people that make us crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And we, I mean, I'm a know-it-all and I hate seeing
I hate know-it-alls.
I can be, I have to sort of dominate a conversation and it takes a really special person for me to like give a conversation up.
Oh yeah.
Else.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Cause I think that person is not saying anything interesting. So I try to like,
I just, it's my own. I know. No, you're right. We have a thing in ourselves. And I do think it's a lot of like parents issues with their children. Cause they see themselves and their kids and they're like, oh, I hate that about myself. And now you're doing it.
Yeah. Yes.
And kids see their parents and like, I'm never going to be you. And that, you know, it's that sort of struggle because there's something in you innately that you're like, we're the same. And I don't like that thing about
you. You talked about that on your last show.
Am I copying
just about
something?
The parents and
Yeah.
Like their bad qualities just carrying over to the kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Or you just swing too far the other way.
Right. And that's, I am the perfect amalgamation of my parents.
No, name dropper.
You've got parents.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, look at you and your parents. You must be happy.
So what are your parents like? What are your parents like, Abed?
What are my parents like?
Yeah.
Well, my mom is the nerdy, reedy, sci-fi person. My dad is the funny Bill Cosby-like. Well, not Kansas Cosby.
Right.
No, not in that way.
Wow. He went there.
I get it.
He's like the jovial, happy dad
that's
joking with everybody.
Yeah. Sure.
And so his people skills are what I got. My mom doesn't like people. She's like a shut-in. So
okay.
I'm a little bit of both.
You like to talk and be with people, but you also
not
need
all the
your
time.
Space.
Yes, my space is important.
To watch all the episodes of Frasier.
That's right. I love Frasier.
You do?
Hell yeah. That's a great show. No, I mean,
you watched like
I've
all 11 seasons.
I did.
Wow.
I had all this time. But I love, like, I watched Mary Tyler Moore recently.
Uh-huh.
I tried to go through
Classic.
All these sitcoms I've never seen.
But yeah, you would masturbate to Frasier, wouldn't you?
Well,
I kind of had a crush on the boss, but it's a whole other story.
Okay,
yeah, hey,
it's a whole other podcast.
Enjoy it. Enjoy the crush.
Something about
enjoy
her,
the, ride.
The way she dominated everybody was very exciting and attractive.
Was it Jane Leaves?
No, she's attractive, but the boss, the one that had the
Perry
man-like
Gilpin?
Voice. Yes.
Okay.
There was something about her that was very sexy, but nobody else found her as attractive as me. I'm weird. I like weird
stuff.
No,
I think people found Perry Gilpin attractive. I think if you asked me, I think she would be considered an attractive person.
I don't know what it is. It's like her
with
personality.
With a name that sounds like shampoo.
And Frasier never like really got with her. You know, like, and I always thought, like, he's missing some, like, she
well,
seems
I can
perfect
never,
for him.
I mean, you know, Frasier Crane, I just can never imagine in any sort of, like, you know, physical relationship. I mean, to me, it's like he and Lilith from Cheers were just perfect because you're just like,
Lilith.
They were just so cold.
I love Lilith.
Cerebral.
One of my favorite characters in TV was
I know.
Lilith.
Is it Beeb? Or Bebe.
BB.
Like BB's kids.
I would love it if her name was Beeb Newer. I'm Beeb Newer.
I mean,
it's
that
Beeb.
Would be fun.
My cousin's
hey, say hi to Beeb
was,
over here.
My cousin's nickname was Beeb.
Beeb, put the drink
I'm not lying.
Down and come over here.
God. Beeb's always drinking.
Beeb Newer. Hi, Beeb Newer.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Beeb, put down the crack pipe and come over here.
That well, when you beep. Say leave a message after the beep, she's like, someone talking
she's
to
like,
me?
She's like, me?
Wait, me?
Okay, I want to hear stories from you guys. I want to hear, like, tell me something.
What?
I mean, this
oh,
is all,
man. Here's
who wants to go
here's
first?
The fun part. Well, great. Rich, do you have a story?
No, you go ahead.
You sound like you have a story.
No, I had a revelation.
Oh, great. I'll take that.
No, that was that.
That was what?
That
he had
one
a revelation.
That BB Newirth's name is pronounced BB, not Beeb?
Yeah.
Well, That's certainly
I'm
minor.
Spent.
That's pretty funny.
No, but you go ahead.
What? Yeah, okay. I guess one of us has to go or we'll be here all day.
Yeah. No, that's how it works.
Well, you know, I had like a few stories and I was like actually listening to my friend's old podcast to see if I'd told them before.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's so nice
because,
of you.
Well, because I used to go on their show like
I
a
love
lot.
That you did that.
Yeah. They would have like Abed Corner and I would go on and just tell them my tales. And
oh,
like,
I love
it. I was like worried.
He's got a lot
and
of
what,
tales.
And what show was that?
Grandma's Virginity.
Okay.
With Justin and
oh,
Ryan.
Right, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and that he was on it too.
I was but, Mr. Scoops.
Right, right. Hey, guys, I got a scoop for you. But so, I guess, like, because the thing is, like, I've had some crazy things happen to me as an adult, but I was like, you know, I really did have a nutty childhood, like mm-hmm. a very nutty childhood. So I was
here
thinking.
Here it comes.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Modesto, which is up north.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Central
sure.
Valley.
Uh-huh.
And,
known for its walnuts.
Yes, and Timothy Oliphant went to my high school.
Oh, there
yeah.
You go.
And Hawkeye, what's
he's
that guy's
lovely.
Name?
He's lovely. I've met Ellen Timothy Oliphant. If we're going to name drop, I got to do a reading with him, and he was incredibly
he's awesome.
He's
lovely.
Good.
Great actor.
He's very talented, and he was very, very sweet.
I loves
apples.
Yeah.
He loves apples.
He loves, see, you know, Tim.
Yeah, yeah.
He's from Apple Country.
Nature's toothbrush. Right?
Okay.
Hey, do you got an apple? I need to brush my tooth.
All okay, right. Great.
So anyway, basically, now there was two stories I could choose from. One I didn't pick just because it's a little bit crazy. I attacked my aunt, me and my cousins.
Why?
And, well,
they can be quick.
They kept us locked up.
You can't just dangle that and go, okay,
yeah,
we've
yeah.
all attacked our
well,
aunts. Moving
got,
on.
So
I had sex with a corpse. And the other one I wanted
to
tell.
The other one was apples.
Well, the other one was just about apples. Well, basically, like, we got in trouble because we were talking all night. We were supposed to sleep. I grew up and we were all cousins and we would visit my cousins and there was like 12 of us maybe
all in a room.
Oh man,
no there was the girls and the boys were separate
uh-huh.
and the girls always kissed ass to my mom and my aunt and they got all this special treatment
uh-huh.
and we were so pissed because we were talking all night and the parents are like, that's it, you're not seeing toys with Robin Williams tomorrow. And I was like, this is when it happened. And
you don't
I was
realize
very,
what a treasure what a present that is.
I know, I was like
that.
Oh, that movie with he's like got all the toys. Like, oh my
it's a
god.
Blessing.
Yeah, yeah. We were actually the lucky ones.
Yeah.
So we were so pissed because the girls got to go. And so the next day, my aunt makes us all, I guess I am telling the story.
Yeah.
My aunt makes us all clean the house. Like we're a bunch of slaves.
Uh-huh.
So we're all just like
all the boys had to clean the house while the girls went and
girls
saw toys.
Girls went and saw toys with my mom.
Wow. It
and
sounds
I was like,
like
Mom,
that,
what
and
I,
sounds
come
like
on.
That Gordon Ramsay show.
I don't even know what that
is. Right, clean the house?
Hell's Kitchen.
You better clean the house!
Yeah, Hell's Kitchen. Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was like that.
Losers!
How dare you! but I worked for him, too, on his show, on Hell's Kitchen. Another story.
Dropping names!
Name dropping.
Oh, my God.
No, that's more like job dropping. So we were cleaning the house and we were just grumbling the whole time, like shuffling our feet. I mean, dragging our feet, really pissed, doing a shitty job. So she's yelling at us. She also used to take her shoe off and chase us.
Oh my God!
Now, these
like
are Muslim.
Khrushchev.
Yeah, these are Muslim like families, so it's very disciplined,
uh-huh.
and you can't fuck around. You know, the moms go crazy and hit
yes,
you.
Yes.
My aunt would hit me, which mm-hmm. I thought wasn't
what?
Right.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
Auntie Rida. So
only
so basically,
mom can hit you.
Rida, and so it had a cool name, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all cleaning up. And her son, my cousin, now he is the black sheep. He's the guy that like gets everybody in trouble.
Is he older than you?
No, he's younger.
Oh, okay.
But he was just like,
he's not the Teflon.
No, he doesn't put up with shit. But he was like the whole time going like, man, fuck this. He didn't say that word. But he's like, this is bullshit. We have to clean up. They get to go to the movies. I'm so mad. He got us all riled up. So we all gather in his
now,
bedroom.
Now, how old were you at this time?
I must have been 12 or
okay,
11.
Okay.
He wasn't
and,
born
he was,
yet.
He was like, so he was like 9? And or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. And he
oh,
was tougher
wow.
than me. He could beat me up. I mean, he
okay.
was like a tough kid.
No, sure.
Well, when he used to get spanked, he would laugh. Which I thought was
wow.
scary. I'm
wow,
like,
that's terrifying.
It's like he enjoys the pain.
That's yes. Dumber
and,
did that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was gonna
yeah.
say.
But it was
I've
a laugh that was like evil, like ha ha ha.
Yeah,
like more. You know,
oh,
like
wow.
or maybe he
oh,
was in
that's
into
a
pain
sign of something.
Of,
yeah,
of a
sure.
fetish. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's like a super nice guy now. He's like completely
oh, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
wow.
saw him at a wedding and he was super nice. Anyway.
He runs a slaughterhouse.
But he's a gentleman. So then we all come up with this plan. We are gonna throw a blanket over my aunt when she comes into the
oh my
room
God, I love this.
And shove her in a closet and we're
yes!
going to take off. And so like Because we're all in the room hiding, and then she's just like, "Where are you kids? Work's not getting done." So she like storms in. My cousin is behind the door, so I throw the blanket over her. Now he's got a plastic bat, one of those goofy,
remember the large red ones?
Oh, and he starts whacking her behind the head.
I don't want to listen.
Yeah, like just whack, whack. And he's laughing like, "Yes, yes, we win." And then like we shove her in the closet. She's screaming.
Wait, was it your idea to put the blanket or did he tell you?
No, he's like, we throw the blanket over, we shove her in the closet. But then we didn't know
he had it. The real story is Albert's running the whole thing.
Blaming it on the 9-year old.
Listen, you asshole, get behind the door and whack her.
Do it.
I was always the kid they looked up to, but I wasn't like the ringleader of like of trouble. Like I never would like say.
So what happened? Like
so, then we shove her.
She's in the closet screaming.
She's screaming and also, like, "I'm gonna get you, kids."
Here's the thing: she's a grown woman. Did she not know that she could just get out from under the blanket, or did she just panic?
Well, I mean,
and, like,
I think it was
limp?
She did not see that coming. You know,
right.
It's like it was all surprise. And my cousin's hitting her with the bat, so she's like disoriented.
That's really bad. You know?
Yeah. No, it was a plastic bat, but
still, that's called a blanket party, and that can cause a lot of problems. People can have trouble. Yeah,
blanket party. Blanket party.
I haven't been to those parties.
Oh, yeah.
So Annette Funicello would have those.
Oh, she had so much fun.
The blanket was on the ground.
Stevens.
Oh, God.
Tommy Kirk.
And Paul Lynde.
Oh, sure. Isn't Paul Lynde was there.
Everyone's just dancing in one spot.
As the drunk gay professor.
Put the blanket on me.
Dr. All right. Cold Tooth.
Time for the plastic bat.
All right.
But yeah, so she was in the closet, and we all took off running. I've never been more terrified in my life. It was like I could hear the monster in the other room screaming.
Oh, wow.
Like, "I'm going to kill you, kids."
Oh, so she was mad?
Oh, yeah. Well,
I thought she was going to go, "Well done. Oh, well done."
This insane Middle Eastern abusive aunt? Absolutely not.
You have beaten the master.
No, she thinks the devil's gotten in you. And
no,
she's time to, yeah.
She's going
to
regulate. But we scurried in all directions. Like, my brother, he ran up a tree out in the backyard. One of my cousins went
on
the roof.
Idea.
My cousin, the smart one that orchestrated it, he grabbed his bike. So me and him,
he was the one to know.
"Jump on my bike. We're gonna get the fuck out of here." And I was like, "Yeah, let's go." And so she's like running out, just screaming. And I remember seeing, like, you know, it's like that whole Vietnam thing. No one left behind. We left everyone behind. Like, we completely scattered.
This was the Vietnam of Modesto.
It was, yeah.
1995.
Everyone's talking about it.
We split. Yes. It must have been 93 or 94. Anyway, so we split. And then, I mean, I heard about this later, but I heard about my brother in the tree, and then my aunt's going, "You got to come down sometime. You're going to have to go to the bathroom."
So what happened to you guys?
Me and my cousin, we ran. We just took off. My uncle owned, like, a liquor store, so we went there, and we just hid in the back.
And you never came back?
Well,
you never saw your aunt again.
I don't know what happened to those other guys. I know my brother
was
stuck in a tree.
You're reaching out on this show.
Yeah, I just know that.
Rachel, if you're listening,
I remember
really
a phone
sorry.
Call. And then my uncle comes back and he's like, "You guys, like, you're in trouble," in Arabic, whatever that sounds like. Uh-huh. It's like
and then,
Klingon.
He goes,
they were like Klingons.
But seriously, though, great job.
See, now you can say that. You can say those, you can make those kind of crass jokes.
Right, I can.
But if Rich and I try to say that, we're somehow wrong.
I can only
offended.
Life is just too hard
I can
for
only
us
make
whites.
Fun of
I'll allow you guys on this podcast to say whatever you want because. It's free reign.
What?
I'm allowing it. I'm
you like will, but the world,
no.
the listeners out there.
Never.
How
okay,
dare
so,
you?
So did you and your aunt ever, like, you know, make
I think she calmed down. Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, this is another day in the life of, of my life with my cousins.
Yeah.
She calmed down. I think my mom grounded us. We got in trouble. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we were at the store and we were caught, so she just came and picked us up. Mm-hmm. But it's like she had calmed down. I think she got all of her hitting out with my brother and my other cousin, mm-hmm. like pretty much beat the shit out of those two.
Oh, so her arms
so,
were tired.
So we got away. She's like, "I'm too tired to beat you."
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, and we escaped. So, I mean, everything went back to normal, reset and that stuff. And but I just remember, like, that was crazy. And I didn't realize that it was so crazy till in third grade I went out. I won this contest, so we got to eat at Carl's Jr. And I was with
Wait a minute. What?
What a contest. What wonderful
contest.
Contest
did you win? I want to know about this. Your prize was getting to eat at Carl's.
It was an essay about how you hit your aunt.
So my,
what was this? What was this contest?
It was sixth grade, and I think there was a contest. Like whoever got the highest score on this test got to go to Carl's Jr. with a teacher. He got to take
what
the kids
was the
out.
Test?
That sounds horrible.
I don't remember.
I'd be I'll take a good B on this test because I don't want to go to Carl's Jr. with my teacher.
They were amazing. That's when they had
some
hot
sort
dogs.
Of weird grilled chicken sandwich.
Awkward. Be like,
oh, I used to love
awkward. It's just me and my teacher.
I think he made us select which place, and we chose Carl's Jr.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mr. Presto.
To go, please.
Yeah. And his name was Mr. Presto, so it was like, Presto!
Oh, wow.
Like, he made
Presto
stuff
Chango!
Happen. He made stuff happen. Okay. And so we went there, and then that's when I realized telling the story to him that it wasn't normal.
Presto Pito! Right.
Yeah, that he was like...
Well, that's the thing. When you grow up with the family and the world that you're in, that is just what normal looks like. And then it takes... telling other people.
Right.
You know, to be like, oh, wait, did other people not do that?
No, but they were
like, for me, like growing up, like my dad on Saturday mornings would just do characters constantly. He would just be in and out of characters.
Right.
And he would, and my brother and I would request different characters and he would just jump in and out of characters.
Mr. Salty.
Yeah. I mean, it was literally, and they were all incredibly offensive and they were, none of them could be put on
do
TV.
Do Mr. Slicko.
Mr. Slicko.
It's great because.
And some of them were women. Like, I just, so from an early age, I was like, oh, that's just what families do. And then, you know, to find out that other people would, like, go outside and throw football. Like, I'm like, I never did that with
Chuck
my father. I never had a moment of, like, anything athletic.
It was all, like,
and thank God.
But, no, like, it made you
to
who
me,
you are.
Like, I just never thought about it. Like, it took other people kind of saying, yeah, no, nobody else's dad is, like, jumping in and out of these crazy, you know. And I'm so grateful for it now. But it's like, you know, yeah, what you're... And then there are other, like, weird fights that you have with your family. And then you just don't realize that, oh, yeah, that's just the... That's
you know what? It takes fighting, watching sitcoms to learn that you're not like other families.
Yeah. Oh, no. I learned that I'm just like those families.
What would you say is the
Screamies.
Sitcom that was the most like your family?
Full
I don't
house.
Have an answer to that.
Full House.
Oh, that's
really?
Good.
Well, yeah, because like we had, I had three aunts instead of three uncles.
Okay.
And,
was one of them a neat freak and the other like loved what? Elvis and the other one was wacky?
No, I mean, one was like completely materialistic and she loved 80s style. And
close
the other
enough.
One was the one with the shoe chasing us around that we ambushed. And it's like, they were sort of like my other moms.
Uh-huh.
And then we were just a bunch of kids all hanging out and doing crazy shit. So when we saw Full House, we really related.
Yeah.
We were like, yeah, that's like us. You know?
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, it's bad now.
It's
terrible
really
now.
It's really hard to watch.
Yeah, but...
It's actually like...
Fuller House.
It's
now
actually...
That's,
like, it's bizarre.
No, that's
it's almost like performance art when
yeah,
you watch it.
Yeah,
you're just like, this is not how people ever behave
no,
at
there's,
all.
No, everything is so tightly,
way.
Perfectly wrapped up.
That's why I was... You know, the Brady Bunch to me was like, oh my God, they're acting... Everything's perfect.
Yeah. Oh, it's just weird. It's
wow. The dad's not an alcoholic.
But it was bizarre.
What would you say, Rich? What would you say like growing up if you what show would you say
oh,
you maybe
God.
Related to the most?
It would be about a strict dad and a mom who was strict.
Okay.
That sounds like a drama.
No, my dad was the one that was quiet, didn't talk too much.
Uh-huh.
And my mom was more talkative. So maybe Major Dad.
Major
my dad was in the Air Force.
Oh, okay.
I can see that.
I remember Major Dad. Oh,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I think to copy your Gerald McCraney, I think that weirdly I would say designing women on a really odd way. Not that I was raised by four women, but my mom was an interior designer. My dad worked in furniture. That was Atlanta. It was I'm from North Carolina.
You worked inside furniture?
We worked inside furniture. Yeah,
but that's the furniture capital of the...
North
World.
Carolina is, yes. Yeah, High Point, yes.
So he was a big roller. High roller.
He worked for Lazy Boy.
Should everyone go to High Point?
Oh, it's the greatest place in the world. Oh,
yeah, I was wondering what all those Lazy Boys were doing
it's
out there.
The international furniture market. I mean, the international furniture market is in High Point, North Carolina.
It is.
They do a
from
lot
Japan,
of sand.
Germany, everywhere. They
is there like
that,
like the latest furniture, like cars? You know, like
yeah,
the latest
there is,
design.
Actually. Yeah, totally.
Oh,
well,
wow.
You know,
love
when you look at furniture,
right,
that's like, you know, then you look at stuff and you go, oh, that's so 80s. I'm working on a show now, and I walked in, and I was like, this looks like the set of Ruthless People, and they're like, that was their inspiration of that 80s modern cruel furniture that you couldn't really sit on.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Remember
shit.
Remember that? And that movie? So yeah, there's furniture that goes through trends and styles, just like cars
and then there was
and
that
fashion.
Movie High Point Blank.
What was that?
That John Cusack movie?
Gross
Point.
Oh, God.
Oh, Gross Point. Okay.
Nothing to do with that. That's about music. That's about Illinois.
He's just naming
Illinois.
Movies.
That was just
not at all.
He saw it last night.
Throwaway.
But, yeah. Well, Rich, I want to hear a story, a revelation from
Okay,
you.
Well, this is sort of the... my dad was in the Air Force, so I grew up on Air Force bases.
Uh-huh.
So... You had to go. What was weird is you would have friends, right? And then years later, you'd go off and you'd go your separate ways. Like every 2 years, I would move.
Oh, right.
And,
yeah.
And so years later, you would meet the same people. Like years later, you'd be stationed at another base.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But so then like
you
a
may
reunion.
Not. But years may go by because everybody's on different schedules, right? So like you might see somebody like. You know, 10 years later, right? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
That's so crazy.
Because it was like this sort of rotating shish kebab or Lazy Susan of bases you would go to.
Right.
We just went in the U.S. for some reason. So we went, when I was little, we were in Massachusetts. Uh-huh. And then we went to Tucson, Arizona.
Okay.
And so apparently it was so flat that... In Tucson, that I had no idea about flat. So when, so when we were unloading the moving van, mm-hmm. I took my tricycle and I just started going.
Oh, and you...
because it was flat, and I
How
didn't
old
know.
Were you?
I was like 4.
Wow.
Right, and so you just didn't realize distance, and you didn't know that like you're going a really far distance.
Yeah,
it just it didn't look like you were getting.
And you know. My parents were
That's
just
amazing.
You know they were busy moving and stuff, and they didn't notice me.
So you were gone. So
I went all the way to the main gate.
Oh my God!
Wow, yeah. Those bases are huge.
But I mean, you think about now, parents, like,
right.
Where is he in the bathroom?
Right.
Is he in the bathroom?
I know. And then you were just allowed to do. Now you said, now what way were they strict, other than just being military and about rules?
Well, I think part of it was, and this took me longer to get involved in performing.
Uh-huh.
Was my dad was about. There's no degree that's worth anything unless it's like a BS degree.
Okay, so like it has
BA?
To be practical.
Practical.
No, BS.
Oh.
Computers.
It's like science. Like it's got to be like engineering or...
I see.
You know,
are you translating for him?
Yes.
Yeah, thank
yes.
you. I didn't know that BS was a thing. Okay.
Oh, yeah, Bachelor of Science.
Oh, Bachelor of
versus
Science.
Versus Bachelor of Arts.
Okay.
So I, you know, when I went to schools, like, I had to be... Oh, I thought... I sort of did it to please... To be a computer mm-hmm. major, which I absolutely hated.
Oh, wow.
I did not.
Were you good at computers?
No.
Oh, wow.
I was not good at it.
Oh, wow.
It was programming.
Uh-huh.
Was
and
this
I
age?
Didn't get, I, it was one of those things, you know how you don't get something? I didn't get it.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine. That would be that
well, this
would be
was
my
like
hell if I had to be a computer programmer.
Like personal computers, so they were more big and clunky and... Filled
yeah,
rooms,
and they had
right?
a crank,
they
right?
They crank it up.
But it was all about, you know, same thing with coding. Now.
Writing
it's like,
code and
yeah,
stuff.
I just can't do
gibberish.
That.
No
yeah,
way,
it's
no
just
way.
Like
it's just seems, it seems maddening.
Gobbledygook.
Well, and it's also just like not how we're wired. Like we, I mean, we literally don't, yeah. We just can't do that. Whereas like the thing that we do is a very bizarre thing for most people to look at and go, how do you do that? And what do you do? And
yeah,
right.
What is that?
Like, how do you make money?
But there is a real fear as a parent for being like, oh, you're going to go off and just, like, make jokes for a living or whatever. Like, that just doesn't seem at all
No. And they
safe.
Don't understand the minutiae of the career. Like, if
yeah.
you say a pilot, they don't know.
Right.
But if you get a Clairol national commercial, they go, I saw you!
Yeah.
I was
then,
watching
then
it's
all about what they see. It's all about what they see. And then now I understand.
Right.
You know what gets me about my mom now? Is she'll go, that Jack Nicholson hasn't been doing much lately. Go, no, he's doing loads of things.
He's doing loads of things. Also, he doesn't have to do anything.
So he
does whatever he wants.
Yeah.
He can go play golf and, you know... Fuck
yeah, that's
20-year-olds all day.
That's the same
and it doesn't
as
matter.
Being in the
care.
Movie.
So unless you're like on TV constantly,
right.
you're not
right.
yeah, worth like, your soul.
Yeah. Rich,
there
are you doing
so
all right?
Many actors now that are on these shows. There's so many TV shows now and all these things that there are actors that go away in my mind, and I'll be like, what have they been doing? I just saw this amazing, and I'm trying to think. Oh, it was called this movie called Chronic. that was a super low budget movie with Tim Roth, and he gave like the performance of the year.
Oh, he's amazing.
He was incredible in this movie, and he plays this hospice nurse, and it's just excruciating.
Wow.
And I was like, what has he been doing? And then you're like, look up and like, oh, he's been working constantly. Tim Roth's been, but it's like, just because he's not under your nose, you're like, yeah, the actors keep working. It's sort of out of our hands.
Or it's like, oh, he's been on the CW show for 8 years.
That's the thing.
What? I didn't know about that.
They all do these shows that, you know, or they, you know, and that's also the thing that, like, you know, it's all perspective.
I just think of
to my grandparents, the fact that I know Stephanie Courtney, who is, you know, from Progressive, Flo.
Yes, yes.
From Progressive, who is one of the most talented.
And she was in Mad Men.
Incredible. Yes, yeah, of course. Yeah.
I had a friend.
Stephanie is, like, I mean, you know, truly one of the most talented people I've ever worked with or known and lovely.
Wonderful.
But to my grandparents, like, just me knowing her is a huge deal.
Right, because they see those all the time.
Because they're like, oh, you know, and it's like, but they wouldn't know.
If my mom found
out. They wouldn't
know
who Will Ferrell is, I don't think. Yeah. Maybe, I don't think so.
Isn't that frustrating?
No, so, I mean, I think it's kind of lovely because it's like, it shows you that, like, it's all perspective.
Right.
Nobody's winning or losing. You know what I mean? It's like, first of all, the fact that anybody would be happy for Stephanie, I'd be like, yes, she deserves the world. But it's also like, you know, it's weird how we look at ourselves as, it's very good to not sort of compare ourselves and to say like, oh, I'm doing what I do and this is not anything, you know, It's frustrating on a personal level, you know, sometimes with some, you know, family members, or when I try to go back and explain what I'm doing, when I'm in, you know, when I'm doing like weird little things here and there, they don't quite get it. You're not the Geico lizard.
Come on.
You know, and one time I was doing a show and then they go, well, how much are you getting paid? It's free. It's at a theater, but it's a good exposure. And they go, you know what you do tomorrow? You go into that producer's office. You slam your fist on the table and you say, I am worth something.
Was this my show?
It's like, my God.
It's probably my show.
And I did it and I got $3 million.
Oh, wow.
First of all, the fact that
he had a big bag of money just behind his desk.
That a theater has a producer's office, number one.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that they have you slam your fist on the desk. And it's all coming from a good place, and they want you to, and it is. They do worry about how you.
They
make
try
money.
To apply business and, you know, 9-to-5 work things to, which is true to some degree, but you just can't.
Well, I did that for a long time, and it just almost killed me, you know. Mm-hmm. And I recently, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, was fired, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me because then I'm just like, all right, I'm going for it.
Oh, yeah. I fired you, right?
Yeah, you were it's not working. Get out of here.
Good.
Like, get out of my office. You.
What did you learn from when you were fired? Like, what was that like?
I mean, I just learned, like, you know, I felt trapped. And relationships were bad because I was bringing a lot of my drama from work to it and just making me kind of miserable all the time because I wasn't happy where I was. And then I just had this freedom of like, oh, I'm a creative person. I don't belong there.
Right.
You know, and I have so much like exciting ideas and like, and characters in me. And I just have to now like unleash this. Mm-hmm. And it was just so freeing and powerful. And it's like, I recommend anybody who has that dream to just go for it.
Well, and also like, there's no right answer. Like, and like, you know, you just, the universe is going to just happen.
Right.
So all you can do is like, be okay with it and follow. And I think too, like follow the green lights, you know, cause it's like, sometimes we think things are too easy. And so we make ourselves hard. We want to follow the hardest thing because we go, I want to, because that must be the best thing. If it's the thing I have to work the hardest for. And
right.
It's like, maybe not.
Yeah,
maybe.
Like, I know
yeah,
so
maybe
many
it's
people
easier than
like,
you think.
Like, they're really good at something, but they go, oh, because this comes easy to me, I'm going to try the violin because that's hard and I feel pain.
Exactly.
And it's like that puritanical instinct and everything.
Well, you know, even in the world of comedy, you know, there are people that, you know, that will. That I would say that like that are really successful doing stand up and they try to do improv and you're like
don't do
improv if you're naturally great at stand up do stand up like if you're and that's in the world of comedy then there are other people that are like you know they really desperately they have a perception of themselves and I had to learn that. I mean, I went to school to, you know, I wanted to be a serious actor and I would get on stage and people would laugh and I would get mad.
Right.
I'm like, why are they laughing? I'm an actor and I am feeling
Did
this.
Did you throw a blanket on
them? You know, I threw a blanket on them after I beat the shit out of
them. Yes!
That's what you should have done.
Then I ran up a tree.
Then they would have been like, oh, he's a serious actor.
But, you know, I had to learn, like, oh, like, trust right. what goes well for you, Drew, and you're not going to be Ryan Gosling. Like, you're right, not going to be that. Yeah. You're never going to do that. And that's not... You know, that's lovely to know. That will free you up.
You want to know that
stuff
early.
I'm glad because I was in the throes of reality TV, and it was awful.
You were in the throes?
I was just like, I was in the firing range of just all these producers just throwing back and forth.
Which was it, the throes or the firing range?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's an ugly world in that industry, and I wanted to be in animation, I wanted to be in comedy, and that was, like, where my sights were set.
Right.
And so I was like, I need to be where there's more love and creativity and, you know what I mean? Like, it's that feeling.
That's the thing, too. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of the thing like, say you want to be a filmmaker and somebody goes, well, I'm going to start at the bottom of Sony and I'm going to do this. It's start doing films.
I'll work for Robert Evans and then I'll work my way up.
Jerk. Well, because, you know, that's how we're trained to do, because it's like go to school, start in kindergarten and then go through 12th grade and then go to college and do 4 years of college and then do, and that's just how our brains think.
Yeah.
And so there's a comfort in that structure.
Right.
That's what...
But creatively, it never works that way.
No,
it has to go its own way.
Because there's a formula that worked for a lot of people, but not you.
Not for creative people.
Second City was like that for me because it was like a school. Uh-huh. So you could somehow wrap your head around like, oh, I'm progressing from this stage to next. And I told a lot of people, it's like, this is not the way it's going to be. Like, it's a totally irrational industry.
No, I know.
Where you can't feel like there's a pecking order.
No, and there's not. And it's crazy because that was my experience with the Groundlings. And I went to the Groundlings right after college. So it was like high school, college, the Groundlings. And I did the Groundlings for 6 years because, you know, you're waiting on class on the next level. So in my head, I was always like, even when I would be on a long waiting list and I had other things going on in between, I kind of in the back of my mind, well, I have my next class at the Groundlings. That will be the next step ahead. Yeah. And it was the most incredible training and the most wonderful thing. But when I was done with
Lorraine Newman.
I was Lorraine Newman, of course. I was done at 28. I was you know, let go at 28, and I was like, now what?
Yeah.
And it was the scariest, most important time in my life, creatively for sure, because it made me sort of make my own thing happen and not sit and wait. And I think people that. You know, a lot of time, I don't know when I would have learned that lesson had I gotten on the main stage of the Groundlings, because I think I would have just been waiting for the Groundlings to make me. And the Groundlings is, and Second City, none of these places are, they're training
ends in themselves.
They're not responsible for your joy or your career. They are there to help you get better at what they do there. And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's
not a solution.
You have to learn. No. And it's not a place to just hang out for the rest of your life, because that's where you do get.
Well, then you're like the guy in high school that
comes
back.
Like, well, you're like, I was the most popular guy in
Michael
high school.
Matthew
Why doesn't everyone in the world like me? You know, I made straight A's and, you know, and, you know, freshman and year, why am I not excelling in life?
And we try to rationalize this too by doing it in like a class format where you graduate levels, because like somebody can do, any one of us can be in a movie tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I'm in a movie
and
tomorrow.
It's like, whereas in your rationale, it's like that person shouldn't be in a movie because they weren't on a stage as long as I was.
I know. And you realize, like, nobody cares
about
nobody
that.
Like, you're
gives
keeping a weird
crap.
Score.
It really
no
doesn't
one
matter.
Is,
yeah, yeah,
no one
yeah.
else is playing this game.
It's all about the present. It's like, and if you have that moment in the present, that's what people pay attention to. Not, like, where you came from or whatever.
Yeah.
Otherwise, who the fuck would care about? I'm from Modesto. It's like, that place sucks.
I love Modesto.
Oh, so is Timothy Oliphant.
I know. Well,
see?
He same thing. He came from the muck and the mire, you know?
See?
I'm casting your hands
somewhere.
There's dirt holding you down there. You're like, dirt, no!
Modesto!
Yeah. It's like Night of the Living Dead. It's like the dirt's pulling you.
But, you know, it's good to come from that dirt, you know?
Right? Yeah.
Wow.
I think so. I don't know what that
George
means.
Lucas
good.
Also
you know, I'm not
going
to think about that too
good.
Hard, but I think I just said something really,
that's really
fucking profound.
Really,
you did.
Really good.
You guys, we're out of time.
Oh, shucks.
What? Oh,
I know. Crazy.
Have we started?
Fiddlesticks.
We've gone over our time.
Jeez Louise.
We've gone over time.
Good Lord.
Good Lord.
Thank you guys so much for doing
this.
Thanks
great.
For
so
having
fun.
Us.
We went to all kinds of crazy places.
Yeah, we did. It was fun. I liked that it got a little bit serious.
Yeah, no, it always does. Leave it to me to just crank the party down.
I should have cried. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Can you cry real quick? We're actually 5 minutes.
It was a real turd in the punch bowl.
I got all my crying out yesterday, actually.
Oh, see?
Because I saw a good movie. What did you see?
Right.
Big Sick.
Oh, I love The Big Sick.
It was great, right?
Isn't it great?
I haven't seen it, don't tell me.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I cried most of the movie.
I loved it. I've seen it twice. I love it. Yeah. I love the film, and it's Kumail Nanjiani is just so great.
He's a friend.
He's great.
He's awesome.
He was great.
Yeah.
I mean,
Emily's
great. I mean, that's the thing. Their story, I did not know that about them.
No.
I did not know that story about them, and they're both such lovely and talented, wonderful people.
Well, yeah.
And I just thought it was really, really great.
Well, I went through
Ray Romano and Holly Hunter.
Oh my God, they were amazing.
Oh my God.
Ray Romano was so good.
They did it.
So good.
I loved Parenthood, him in Parenthood.
Oh, I know.
He really has a good dramatic presence.
Yeah. And Holly Hunter just representing North Carolina.
She's from North Carolina.
Awesome. I'm sorry, her character in the movie is.
I think she's from
Georgia.
Deeper
down. I think probably Georgia, Alabama or something.
Deeper down.
All right.
Devil.
I want to thank my guests, Abed Gaith and Rich Fulcher.
Thank you, Drew.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks.
This was great.
This has been another episode of Drew Drogi's Minor Revelations. Have a week.